A wonderful day, and we want to give God thanks for His goodness, His grace, and His mercy. Truly, we serve a wonderful God. And so David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. And we are here to lift up the name of Jesus. And so this morning, we want to give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory that He deserves. And so I just want to say thanks to the Booster Church again for inviting me up here on their pulpit to speak of God's wondrous love. And so this morning, before we even go into anything else, just help me sing this song, Jesus Now More Than Ever. Jesus now more than ever, we are sailing in stormy weather. All God's children should get together, for we need Jesus now more than ever. Sing it, me. Jesus now more than ever, we are sailing in stormy weather. All God's children should get together, for we need Jesus now more than ever. Let us pray. Great God and our Father, we thank You, Almighty God. We thank You for life itself. We thank You for Your goodness towards us, and Your mercy keeps running after us. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Sabbath, where we can rest from all our labors, and we can come to reason with You. But Heavenly Father, as we come today, we need You more than ever. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank You to know that Your holy presence is with us. And I want to thank You, great God. So Lord, as I open the word of life to Your people, I pray, Almighty God, that You may prepare their hearts. We ask, O Lord, that Your Holy Spirit may use me, speak through me and in me, that Lord, that You will be glorified. Hide me behind the cross one more time. Let You be seen, high and lifted up. And Heavenly Father, we pray that at the end of it, Lord, that all praise, honor, and glory goes to You. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen and amen. God is good. And all the time. Indeed, we serve a mighty God, one who never fails. And so as we come to give God the praise, the honor, and the glory this morning, we know that we come also to hear a word from God. And so this morning, I just want to speak to us under the caption, The Second Coming of Jesus. Let me see the hands of those who want to go to heaven. Amen. Everyone want to go to heaven. Amen. And so as we look at the second coming of Jesus today, we want to get our hearts prepared that when He shall come, we can all go home to live with Him. And so today, My scripture reading is coming from the book of Matthew 25, and we all know it very well. We look at these parables that Jesus would have taught his disciple day after day. And Matthew 25 is one where Jesus was preparing his disciples for the second coming. And that same message extended unto us today in the last days. And he talks about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Matthew 24 and 25, these two chapters, Jesus' fullest explanation of the second coming of him. In Matthew 23, what we find is Jesus' last occasion to speak and teach to the multitude at the temple of God. And what he did, he rebuked the religious leaders because what they had done. They set aside the word of God and set forth their own tradition and their useless teaching. They were enduring the spiritual growth of the people of God. So Jesus said to the religious leaders, I say to you, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. And then Jesus left the temple never to return again. And Jesus and his disciples went to the Mount of Olives. The sun was setting over the mount, but it was also setting figuratively over Jesus' earthly message. This was going to be his last true time with his disciples, so he take every precious moment to teach them. He shared his sign of his second coming, and he told about what we should be doing in preparation for his uncertain coming. And if you have your Bibles with you today, let us turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew 25. And I'm going to read from verses 1 through to 13. So that's Matthew 25, verses 1 through to 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil in them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for themselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I knew you not. 13 and last said, Watch therefore, for he knoweth neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. The second coming of Jesus. But before I go into the message, this parable is one that filled with symbols. And before you can understand the message, we need to understand what these symbols represent. And so I challenge you, church. And my question is, who is the bridegroom? Jesus is the bridegroom. And we can find that in Matthew 9 and verse 15. Then if Jesus is the bridegroom, who is the bride? The church. So, the church, the bride is the church. And we can also find that in Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9, and Revelation 21. And if the bride is the church, who is the virgin bridesmaid? The bride is the church. So who is the virgin bridesmaid? All right, you go silent on me. So the virgin bridesmaids are the church members. The church members are the virgin's bridesmaids. In the parables, Jesus distinguishes between two classes of believers. He doesn't call them good and bad. He doesn't call them virgins and harlots. He called them virgin. There are two groups of believers in the gospel of grace. So my question again, what is the lamp symbolize? Amen. So the lamp symbolizes the Bible. And if you remember, Psalms 119 verse 105 said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so the lamp represents the word of God. What is the oil represents? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And if the oil represents the Holy Spirit also, we can look in Zechariah 4. What is the vessel represent? The one that carries the additional oil. What is the vessels represent? So the bridegroom carries the lamp, And they carry extra oil in their vessels. So what is the vessels represent? All right. So the vessels would represent our heart. The vessels represent our heart. All right. So what is the midnight represents? So if Jesus or the bridegroom comes in the midnight, what symbolizes the midnight? Unexpected. All right. I will take that. And so we look at the midnight. It represents gross darkness. Midnight is the darkest hour, and it is a time of spiritual darkness and sudden spiritual awakening, a supernatural deliverance. Now, my brothers and sisters, there are three takeaways or 3 points I want to share with us today. And point number one is the delay. Point number two is the church slumber and sleep. And point number three is the midnight cry. The church is the bride. But we got to understand, my brothers and sisters, Jesus and his disciples, they were walking on the mount. And so they would have seen a gathering of some ladies with their lamps. And so we understand that in the Eastern culture, in ancient times, the Jewish would have their wedding at night. But we got to understand, my brothers and sisters, is that the bridesmaid, they would escort the bridegroom into the chamber, and so they would have to wait on the bridegrooms. And so, my brothers and sisters, as it approached to dark at night, we realize that they would have to trim their lamps. And so these bridesmaids, they would put oil in their lamps, and they would trim their lamps, keep it burning, because we don't know the hour nor the minute when the bridegroom would come. And so they will wait, and their lamps will keep burning. But we got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the bridegroom delayed. And this is my first point. You see, Jesus, in all his glory, he came and he died for our sins. And he reminds us that he is coming back again. We got to understand that, my brothers and sisters. John 14 verse 1 to 3 tell us, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so Jesus promised us that he will come again. But when? We don't know. Because the Bible tells us that even Jesus himself do not know when he is coming. Only the Father knows. Not even the angels in heaven know when he is coming. But my brothers and sisters, there is going to become a day when the Father said, Jesus, go and get my children. We're going to understand that heaven will be empty. But when We are waiting. There are times when we gonna get weary. The delay will come. And so Jesus wants us to be faithful in everything that we do. Yes, the delay may come, but we got to understand that we have to hold on to the promises of Jesus. The promises are there in the Word of God that we stand on. And so we got to keep those promises in our hearts, in our mind, that we may not lose sight that Jesus is coming. You got to understand, my brothers and sisters, the delay is for a reason. You got to understand that the delay is for a reason. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is patient and not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." You got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the delay is not that dangerous as we think, but it is for our good, because God don't want us to be destroyed. And so God would have delay is coming for us to get ourselves prepared. Because we got to understand that the second advent of Jesus is for those who are prepared. Because when he's coming for a prepared people. And so Jesus wants us to repent and turn from our ways and get our hearts ready for his appearance. We got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that in Joel chapter 2 verse 28 and 29, it talks about, "And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit and all flesh." Joel tell you that your son and your daughter shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams. We got to understand that Jesus want us to receive his Holy Spirit. And so he want us to repent, he want us to turn, and he want us to ask for his Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we cannot do nothing good for the Lord. You got to understand, my brothers and sisters, we do nothing of our own. But it's the Holy Spirit who guides and leads and teaches us to do all things right. Isaiah tells us that all our righteousness are like filthy rugs. There is nothing good that we can do of ourselves to please God. But without the Holy Spirit, we cannot please him. And so God wants us to pray for the Holy Spirit. And that's why he delayed his coming. There are many Christians who said, "I want the Lord to come right now." But you're going to understand, my brothers and sisters, that is not a good Christian. Because the good Christian will not say that. Reason why? Because there are many people dying in their sin, not knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And it is our duty to go and tell others. Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have told you. And lo," Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." And it means, therefore, my brothers and sisters, when God calls us not for us to use our own might, our own power to do things. But Jesus said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And when he called us, there's sometimes that we might say that we don't know the scripture. We don't know how to give a Bible study. But we can tell the love of Jesus anyhow. Because we would have known him for ourselves. So the commission that Jesus left with us in Matthew 28 is to go and to make disciples. And that's the reason why a delay is coming. Not for me alone. Yes, sometimes I feel like, yes, this is me. I am ready. I want Jesus to come. But I don't think about my family. I don't think about my friends who are in the world, dying in sin, in this dark world. A lot of people is going down in a Christless grave. And I can tell you that every time when I'm in my community and I heard of a young man died, it pains my heart. Why? Because I didn't get the chance to tell him about the love of Jesus. And so I would make it my point of duty that whosoever I come in contact with, I will share the love of Jesus. Jesus delayed because he wants us to be prepared that he can take us home when he comes. And so we got to understand that while the bridesmaids, their lamps were burning and they were waiting, the delay was there. And we got to understand that because many of us, if we talk to many of our friends, even who's older than us, they will say that I heard that Jesus is coming from I was a child, and now I am old and Jesus is not here as yet. And so many will tell us that. But we got to understand, my brothers and sisters, those of us who stand on the promises of God knows that Jesus is not slack concerning his promise. Because he's coming again. The bridesmaids trimmed their lamps. 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. But we got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the 5 wise ones brought extra oil in their vessel. Ah, you don't hear me, Church of God. I'm saying that there are 2 classes of people in the church. You got to understand that even though we are a church, all of us praise God. And all of us will do Bible study. You see, all of us will do visitation. All of us will do the same thing. So how can we differentiate who is wise from foolish? But you got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the wise one bring extra oil in their lamps. And this extra oil is the Holy Spirit. You see, not everyone will make themselves available to let the Holy Spirit use them. That's the difference. Everyone will give an helping hand. Everyone will give a Bible study. Everyone will do visitation. Everyone will come to prayer meeting night after night. But the difference is, not many will let themselves available for the Holy Spirit to use them. And that's the difference with the wise and the foolish virgins. The wise one took extra oil, and the foolish one took none. And so the delay was important for Jesus. The delay was important for Jesus. And so for us as Christians, we know that he is coming, and that his delay is for us to get our heart in readiness for Jesus. My second point is the church slumber and sleep. Why the church slumber and sleep? Is because of the delay of Jesus. We got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the early church was on fire for Jesus. You got to understand that when Jesus' ascension in heaven, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they were on fire for Jesus. And the Bible said that the church grew daily. The church grew daily because the Holy Spirit was working and the church was on fire for Jesus. But you gotta understand, my brothers and sisters, after the killing of the prophets and the apostles and the martyr of those who'd have stand up for Jesus, we realize that the church started to turn downhill. And so, my brothers and sisters, the church started to go into slumber. And the church started to sleep. But my brothers and sisters, I'm here to let you know that there is still hope. God, you got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that in 1844, if you know the history of the Adventist church, it is that a man called William Miller, a Baptist preacher, even though he was reading his Bible, even though he may get the events wrong, but when he recognized that Jesus is coming again, he started to spread the gospel message. And the church was on fire for Jesus. And everyone was preparing themselves for 1844 to come, because they said that Jesus was coming. And so they were enthused in telling people about the coming of Jesus. And so they would spread the message far and near. But my brothers and sisters, the Bible says that the virgins, they slumber, they all slumber and slept. But I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that there is a difference between a slumber and sleep. You see, slumber, there are difference in it. Between slumber and sleep. So slumber generally denotes a light dose or drowsiness. And a sleep represents deep, full unconsciousness. So there is a difference in slumber and sleep. So the slumber is when you take in a dose, a slight dose, as well as the sleep is when you take a deep, deep sleep, unconscious. And so the Bible said that the virgins, they all slumber and sleep. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we look on the church was on fire for Jesus in 1844. But even though the church was on fire in 1844, before 1844, we recognize that those who were carrying the gospel message, getting their self ready, there are people who would have sold their houses, there are people who would have sold their lands and whatever they have, they sold and getting ready for Jesus. But there was a big disappointment in 1844. And the reason is that is because the event was wrong. The 2,300 days prophecy that Jesus would cleanse the sanctuary, it was a misrepresentation, because William Miller thought that the sanctuary that the Bible was talking about, Daniel was talking about, was the earth. But anyhow, He was preaching the coming of Jesus. But there was a big disappointment. And I think that the reason why this disappointment came in place is to differentiate between the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. Because you got to understand, my brothers and sisters, in that disappointment, the church split. You got to understand that many will leave the church and they will give up on their faith because Jesus didn't come. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that is when you recognize the wise from the foolish. Those who the Holy Spirit was carrying, those who the Holy Spirit was leading, they stayed. And you got to understand that there was a little group who decided to go and restudy the prophecy. And they were led by the Holy Spirit because they took nights and they have their meetings and they were studying and they were praying under the Holy Spirit. And that little group that God would have risen up is the Adventist movement. We got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the foolish virgins, they took no oil. They took no oil. So in 1844, many leave the movement. Many stop having hope in Jesus. And this is a quote that I took from a book. It said, true readiness is not just being prepared. True readiness is not just being prepared, but having enough resource to endure an unexpected delay. You got to understand, my brothers. Let me read that again. It said, true readiness is not just being prepared, but having enough resource to endure an unexpected delay. And that's what the wise virgin did. They had the resource. They had the Holy Spirit. And so you got to understand, my brother and sister, those who would have left the church in 1844, disappointment, they were the foolish virgins. They were preparing for the first, yes, because they heard that Jesus was coming. And so they would go to their neighbors and they make ends with their neighbor. They would confess their sin one to another and they would get ready. And so God would have known that these virgins, they were foolish. And so Jesus would have caused this disappointment. And because of the disappointment, the foolish virgins, they would stray away. And so these people, they left the church. They stopped believing God. They don't believe in the second coming of Jesus anymore. But there was a small group who decided to study the Word of God under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And this is when the Advent Church was born. Well, you got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that even though it was a small group, the Holy Spirit was with them. And we got to understand that the message of the Advent Church was moving like a magnet. You got to understand that the Holy Spirit was with them. And they started to share the gospel. They started to dig the word of God and start to rightly divide the word of truth to others. And so, my brothers and sisters, the church was on mission. The church was on fire. But as we come to to our days? No. We recognize, even when I was a child, I used to see people from the church, the churches, they would come and they would give Bible study. They would visit people. They would share Bible scriptures with them. And so we realize that that is no more. The church is sleeping. The church is sleeping. And the reason why the church is sleeping is because we get too comfortable. We get too comfortable as a church. And because we get too comfortable, we stop doing visitation. We stop doing evangelism. And we recognize that people will not come to the church like that. But I'm here to tell you that the Advent Church is not a congregational church. The Advent Church is a moving church. So you got to understand, my brothers and sisters, people will not come to the church, but the church must go to the people. And if we don't go to the people, people will never come to the church. And so we have to go to the people to share the good news of salvation. And so the church is sleeping. And this message is to the last day church, to get out of slumber and sleep and rise up for Jesus, because his coming is imminent. My brothers and sisters, as we examine ourselves, what are we doing for the Lord to come? What are we doing for the Lord to come? You see, Matthew 24 and verse 14, the Bible said, "For this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, then shall the end come." We got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that every creature on earth will hear the gospel message. Then shall Jesus come. You see, there is no ear that will not hear the gospel, because it's going to be a witness to them. So if we want Jesus to come, we have to do what? We have to do the work. Jesus call us. We are his hands and his feet. We are his mouthpiece. We are his representative on earth. And so Jesus wants us to go and tell others. When we tell others, it is not like everyone will accept. But the gospel must be preached to them. It's either they accept or they reject. What it gonna be for a witness to them? And so, my brothers and sisters, as we look forward for the second advent of Jesus, let us get up out of our slumber and our sleep and do the work for the one who called us, the finisher of our faith. That's Jesus. But my brothers and sisters, Jesus is now our high priest. He is interceding on our behalf to the Father. But there's going to come a time when he take off his priestly garment and put on his kingly garment. And when Jesus step out of his get up after the mercy seat, then we know that probation closed. It is time. We are living in the judgment hour. From 1844 until now, we are still in the judgment hour. So whatever we do today, our lives have been judged. Our lives have been judged. Records have been taken. It is going to be written in the book of remembrance, in the book of life, for those who were standing with Christ. But my brothers and sisters, as a church, we must wake up out of our slumber and sleep and do the work for the Lord. But we got to understand, my brothers and sisters, we cannot do it of our own. We will never do it of our own. And so Jesus wants us to pray for the latter rain. Jesus wants us to pray for the Holy Spirit. You got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that he will seal us unto the day of redemption. It is the Holy Spirit that will seal us. And so Jesus wants us to pray for the Holy Spirit day after day. This should be our prayer. Lord, give me your spirit. If Jesus should hold everything from us, he will not withhold his Holy Spirit when we ask him. And it is the Holy Spirit that can empower us, can move us to do great exploits for the Lord. So church, we must examine ourselves. Do we want Jesus to come? If we want Jesus to come, we must do the work that he commanded us. Go, make disciples of every nation, kindreds, tongues, and people. We must spread the everlasting gospel. We must spread the three angels' messages, calling back people to the true God, the one that created heaven and earth, the one that created all things. We must go and spread the everlasting gospel. And as I come down to my third point, the midnight cry. The midnight cry. You see, the bridesmaids, they were there and they were waiting. And so the Bible said there was a loud cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out and meet him. And so the Bible said that the wise virgin trimmed their lamps, and the foolish one oil have been run out. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us some of your oil. But the wise said, it is not enough for us to give you. So go to those who sell and get yours. We got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that we can give Bible study to you. We can preach to you. We can do all the things that God said we must do. But we cannot give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a personal thing. The Holy Spirit is that relationship you have with Jesus. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are times in our lives when we might be going to church 50, 70 years, and we are in the church, but we are locked of the Holy Spirit. All these years we are coming to church, We are doing the things that are right. But we lacked the oil, the extra oil. And it is so sad to know that when Jesus shall come, you see, there are some things that we don't love to hear. Well, for many of us, or well, for all of us, we don't want to hear that our children or our child is dead. We don't want to know that our marriage is broken up. We don't want to hear that there is no food in the house, no money in the pocket. The bank account is empty. You see, we can hear all these things that we don't want to hear, and we still live with it. But one of the things we don't want to hear is that, depart from me, I know you not. That is a thing that we cannot live with. So my brothers and sisters, when the cry was made, they get up and they move. The Bible says that the wise virgin, they trim their lamps and they head on their way. But the foolish virgins, they had to go into the marketplace. But guess what? It is midnight and the marketplace was closed. And so the Bible said that the wise virgin went in with the bridegroom into the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. The Bible said that afterwards, the foolish virgin came and they were knocking and said, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he said, depart from me. I know you not. The midnight cry. The midnight cry. Do we want to hear, depart from me, I know you not? Do we want to hear, depart from me, I know you not? And so my brothers and sisters, the midnight cry, it is the one that Jesus will get up out of the mercy seat when his Father says, go and get my children. That's a time when Jesus will get up. And he will step out on the eastern clouds with his angels. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, Paul said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that remain shall be quickly changed. You see, in the twinkle of an eye, we shall be changed. But we don't want to hear, depart from me, I know you not. We want to say, this is our Lord who we have long waited for. My brothers and sisters, Revelation 16 verse 15 said, behold, I come as a thief in the night. So we don't know when the last man will hear the gospel message on earth. You see, we think that many people is not hearing the message. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, even this church is going to places where people never imagine that the gospel would reach. They are setting up radios, tower, and people is hearing the gospel message. I saw on the a mission report in Indonesia, some part in that area where these people live in the mountains, and they only came down to the town once per month. And I'm here to tell you that these missionaries, they went up there and they would give one man a small radio. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, is that they would put the radio in the middle, and the whole village would come and surround that little radio, and they would listen to the message. They would listen to the gospel. And many of them were baptized. So we got to be careful that we are still looking, because there are some things that is fulfilling, not in our eyes, not in our country, but they are fulfilling elsewhere. And Jesus said that this gospel shall be preached as a witness, then shall the end come. And none of us know when the last man would receive the message. And so he said, "Behold, I come as a thief." Revelation 22 and verse 12 said, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." He's coming quickly. So my brothers and sisters, the midnight cry is for us to be ready. Not to get in ready, but to be ready when Jesus comes. That when he shall come, if you are filthy, let him be filthy still. If you are holy, let him be holy still. You got to understand, my brothers and sisters, when Jesus shall burst that eastern cloud, eastern sky, and put in his appearance, the Bible said that every eyes shall see him. Every eye shall see him. Even those that pierced him will see him. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And on that day, we can say, this is our God who we have long waited for. My brothers and sisters, as we look at the five foolish and the five wise virgins, let us examine ourselves to be the five wise ones. Because we want to go home to reign with Jesus when he comes. And so as we look forward for that second advent of Jesus, it would be a shame to know that we are called Seventh-day Adventists and we're missing out of the kingdom of heaven. Because as Adventists, we are a people of hope. We are a people looking for the second coming of Jesus. And so for us, we must work. We must tell others, this is our mission. We must work. Whosoever you come in contact with, tell them about the love of Jesus. Tell them about Jesus and his coming. Let them know that it is not long from now. You see, weeping may come in the night, but joy cometh in the morning. My brothers and sisters, when we look at this cruel world, the pain, the sickness, you see, the things that are destroying our world, I can tell you that most of the time, in your heart, you said that you want the Lord to come. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. As a young man, I always wanted a house, a car, you know, like everybody else. But when I think about it, it's hard work to build these things. And when I, at one point, I used to think about it hard, and when it's not coming, it get me frustrated, until I went into the Bible, and it reminds me that in my Father's house, I'm in a mansion. Even if I don't own a house down here in this life, I am sure, I am hopeful to know that I'm going to live in that mansion that He have gone to prepare for me. This is my hope. And this should be our hope. This is the hope that we stand on. The Word of God, the pillow of our faith. And as we look to Him, knowing that He is the author and the finisher of our faith, let us do the work that He called us to do, because He is coming again, and He is coming for a prepared people. Let us pray for the latter rain to fall upon us, that the Holy Spirit can use us mightily and to seal us unto the day of redemption. My brothers and sisters, if you are willing to do the work of the Lord, if you want Jesus to come, just stand on your feet. But before I say anything else, I just want to invite John.
It's nice to be here with everyone this morning. That's a powerful message, Patrick. Brother Patrick, thank you. It sets the stage for what God has showed me. He spoke to me last night. He has a message for our church. I stand before you. The Bible in front of me. I'm not going to use it. The Holy Spirit and my water, no notes, but God has a message for our church. It's powerful. It's a message from God. You know, it'd be easy to question and say, why God, why me? But I'm not going to do that. Or I can't do that. I won't have the words to say. I'm not going to do that. I know the God that I serve. He's a powerful God. I know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit coming down upon a man and giving him power from above. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll have power from on high. I know that. Anyone who knows me here knows this is not a comfortable position for me. It's not the normal. I don't like the spotlight. I never have. I never will. But God has called me this morning, and I'm going to be faithful to the calling He gave me. This is going to be a message of reconciliation for our church, a message of love, of hope, healing. We need healing. Each and every one of us in here needs healing. I need healing. God showed me that. I'm here to testify this morning that God has given me healing, something I've been longing for many years. God showed me clearly that He's healing me. The healing didn't come at once, but it's coming. It'll come. I praise God for my wife. She's been through a lot. She sees me as I am. It's hard for her to really believe and understand that the healing actually is coming, which I believe she has a little bit of faith, the mustard seed faith. She wants to see the evidence. She needs our prayers. This morning she's been recovering from sickness, from being gone for almost 2 months. She came home last week. She's been home for about a week. She's starting to get a cold. It set in pretty deep. She's had a fever. She's feeling better, but she needs our prayers. The family, her family needs prayers. Who doesn't need prayer? We all need prayer. I'm grateful for her mom. When I lost my mom in 2018, I just said, God, oh, if I only had one more day with her, I'd love to have one more day with her. I didn't get that day, but I know that day is coming. I have faith that I'll see her again. I have faith I'll see my dad again. That was a question for me for many years. He didn't have a lot of faith, but he did have a simple faith. I see that now. I don't know if I've seen it. He went through a lot at the end of his life, a lot of suffering, a lot of pain. At the end of his life, I just said, God, you know, I don't know what's to come of his salvation, if he's going to be saved or not or what, but I know that I can trust you no matter what with the results. Just give him peace, give him rest. And he did. God gave him rest. He was ready. He suffered a lot, more than anyone I know. I've suffered a lot. I've shared my testimony. When I was in my 20s, Dad always told me, he said, the hell that you go through, the hell that's talked about in the Bible, is the hell that we face right here on this planet. It's not the hell that we're told about in the Bible. It's the hell that we face right here on this planet, and many of us go through it. I know I went through it. That was the worst. I know when I got out of that situation, God showed me that I never have to go through that again. He was faithful. I never had to go through that again. But it's been a tough road. God is faithful, though. I was hoping more people would be here this morning. But it's still the message God wants me to share. I'm trusting the people that need to be here will be here. Where do I start? How long do we want to go? This church needs healing. I was going to share a little bit in Guatemala, share about the preacher. I'm not a preacher. God showed me that clearly in Guatemala. We got there and I had a message, though, I was going to share. And I did. And it was kind of a flop. I didn't see anything good come out of it. Looking out at the congregation, people asleep. It's like, man, I had passion for the pastors that where people were asleep. It's like, that's sad, but yeah, people were asleep. Was there anything that good came out of it? I didn't see it. I guess the only good that came out of it is to show that, yeah, I'm not a preacher. No one's going to ask me to preach a sermon. I won't do that. But if there's a message from God that he wants to give from him, I'll do it. I'll be faithful to him. When we got there to Guatemala, it was a couple days before Sabbath. We got to the church on Sabbath. We expected to hear a sermon. They said, your guy's going to preach the sermon. It's like, what do you mean? We're going to preach the sermon. Me, my daughter, Kisa, Rob Lamberton. It's like, no. And I thought, okay, God, we're going to preach the sermon. We could do something. We can share our testimony. I shared my testimony. And I know people were blessed. They came up to me afterwards. I couldn't have preached a sermon. I know that. God didn't ask me to preach a sermon. He gave us a way out. Gave me a way out. Kisa had a beautiful message. Rob had an amazing testimony. God used us in a powerful way. I'm glad he gives us those little times when we can look back and see, wow, God, you're there, you're real, right with us. Your Holy Spirit is powerful. You speak through us. What is the message this morning? Well, you set the stage, Patrick. Jesus coming soon. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. The only way we can be ready and be able to stand on that day when he comes is if we're spending time in the Word of God right now. And I'm hoping people are praying for me because this is hard. Spend time with God and his Word. Be faithful to what he's given you. We're all broken people. Did I mention that? There's no one here that's healthy. We're all in this together. We're all broken. But praise God. He's faithful. He brings the healing in his time. It feels wonderful to be healed. I know God's healed me. I have a clear mind. I have joy, excitement, knowing what's to come. God showed me that his Spirit is being poured out. The latter rain has begun. It's clear to me. He showed me that. That's the message. Has anyone ever looked up the message of Ellen White, what she said about the latter rain when it begins to fall, when probation ends, how it's got to be soon. Jesus is coming soon. I thought it'd be in my lifetime. I believe it will be. God willing, I'll be here. I'll see him coming in the clouds. And many others will see him too, I believe. Some will be laid to rest. Maybe many. I know I'll be here, God willing. It's going to be soon. Sooner than I thought. I thought maybe I'd be in my 80s, an old man. 80 seems old to me. 60 seemed old to me when I was younger. 80's not so old. I look at Ed, he's 80. President Trump turned 80, he was telling me. Ed's a little older than Trump, I guess. I don't think I'll be 80. I thought I would be. I thought I'd be in my 80s. He's coming soon. I believe the Spirit is being poured out. I believe the latter rain's beginning to fall. We had a big downpour at our house this morning. I was thinking, God, it's fitting for what you, the message you've given me, to give us some rain. I was hoping we get a little more rain. It was nice driving our road this morning. It's plowed. They just plowed it. No dust. What is the message today? Healing. Healing for our church. Our church needs healing. You guys know that. We've been in a state of despair for quite some time. But that can change. And it will change. I want this to be a time of... I don't want to be the only one up here. I don't know how long this is going to go. But I don't want to leave anything undone. I want to let the Holy Spirit lead. But I don't want to be the only one up here. If someone's interested in sharing something, a testimony that God has given them, or a revelation of Him, something that needs to be heard right now. As I'm talking, maybe someone might be feel impressed. Come on up and stand next to me. I'll give you the microphone. Until then, God's going to keep speaking through me. Yeah. It's been a rough road. I guess since Rob Lamberton, maybe? Maybe before that? What caused the division? Did we have division before Rob? Did it happen after? I think it happened before. I think we are in a need of healing before all that. I know that Rob coming back to this church would be a wonderful thing. And I know that what God has placed on my heart is it's got to be an impression from someone maybe that needs to find healing in their heart. I don't know who that person is. They may be here, maybe not. We can pray for those people, though. There's power in prayer. A righteous man, there's power in prayer. Righteous, how does the Bible say? A righteous man availeth much. God calls us righteous? It's like, no, we're not righteous. We know better than that. We know better than that. We're not righteous. There's no one righteous but God.
There's something that I've been thinking about for a while now, and it's a lot of Christians believe that if you don't hear the word on this earth, if you don't believe in it on this earth, you won't go to heaven. And with how we believe our God is, loving, kind, gracious, that just doesn't fit. Because if He's loving, kind, and gracious, how can He condemn you for something you had no control over? So I think everyone needs to know, you don't have to you don't have to hear the gospel news here. You just have to not reject it. Because God's grace is abundant, it's unending, and there's nothing that we can do to get it other than not reject it.
All right, so we're going to sing number 99, God Will Take Care of You. And for those who need it, we serve a God in spite of our differences. In spite of what we have become, we serve a God who cares and loves us with an everlasting love. It does matter our past. God looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. And as I approach the throne room of grace today, I pray that you will open your hearts, that as our prayers go up, that we will ask God to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because if we don't do that, the Holy Spirit will not come in and dwell with us. And so at this time, we're going to bow our heads as I pray. Let us pray. Great God and eternal Father, we come before you, Almighty God, not because of anything that we have done good. Lord, we are wretched. We are a sinner, O God. We have come short of your glory. And so today, O God, we bow our hearts before thee. We ask, Almighty God, that you may continue to lead and direct us. But Heavenly Father, we ask for your cleansing. We ask that you may forgive us of our sins that we have committed, O great God. Because we know that you are the God who hears and cares for your people. Forgive us of our many sins and even the sins we don't know of, Lord. We ask that you may forgive us. Cleanse us and wash us. Baptize us afresh and new with your Holy Spirit. We ask, O mighty God, that your Holy Spirit may fall upon us, O great God, that we may come to the knowledge of the truth. Father, we thank you to know that you still sit on the throne, on the mercy seat, O great God, interceding Jesus on our behalf. Lord, because your blood was shed for us. And Lord, when you can say to your Father, your blood was shed for me and for all of us. Mighty God, we ask that you may continue to lead and direct us. That we may forgive those even who trespass against us, Lord. We ask, Almighty God, that you may come in our hearts. And that your Holy Spirit may move within us in a mighty way, O God. Unite the church again, O God. O mighty God, we are sleeping. Awaken us, O God, that we may understand and look and see, O great God, that you are near, closer than we ever think. We ask, Almighty God, that you may continue to empower us as we continue to ask for your Holy Spirit each day to lead and direct us in the path of righteousness. Grant us your blessing, O God. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for your people, O God, will sit attentively and listen, oh great God, to the message that you have given me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for using me in such a humble and mighty way. And I pray, oh God, that you may take away these hearts of flesh, oh God, this heart of stone, rather, Lord, and give us a heart of flesh. Mighty God, we ask that you may transform our character into yours. Lord, help us to see through the eyes of Jesus and not of our own eyes. We pray, Almighty God, that let this mind we have be in us which was also in Christ Jesus, that we may treat others well, that we may love others as the way you want us to. So, Heavenly Father, today we want to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We pray for those, O God, who are ill. We ask, O mighty God, that you may stretch forth your hand of healing even this time, O God, for those who are sick among us. You are the great balm in Gilead. You're the great Dr. Jesus, Lord. You have done it in the past, and we know that you can do it again, Lord. But we just to put our faith and our trust in you, to know that in you all things are possible. I thank you, O God, for the congregation today. I thank you, Lord, for John, who shares his testimony. Lord, we don't know what he is going through. But Heavenly Father, you know all things. So help us as a church, O God, to love one another. Then other we see that we are your disciples. Until then, Lord, keep us faithful and true until you come. And when you shall come, all of us who are bowing in your presence will not miss in from that great number, but we will hail you as our Lord and personal Savior from sin. We tell you thanks in no other name, but in Jesus' mighty and precious name we pray. Amen. And